Hello and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, and Reclaim Your Energy. I am Leanne Pruitt, your host, and I am so excited for today's interview. We have Lisa Woodruff here with us today. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
We're going to have fun today, and we're going to give the audience some amazing information. So before we go any further, I'm going to tell you guys about Lisa so you know what goodies you're in for. So Lisa is the founder and CEO of Organize 365, and that's a company that helps women take back their homes and paper in 1 year with functional organizing systems that work. And a little aside here, I've been reading up about her stuff. I'm so excited about it. You guys are going to be too. Now, she's the author of The Paper Solution, What to Shred, What to Save, and How to Stop It from Taking Over Your Life with Penguin Random House. And I'm just going to show you guys here. This is actually coming out on August the 4th, I believe. We're recording this interview now in July, but once this airs, this is going to be, you guys can get this goodness. Now, Lisa's top-rated podcast, Organize 365, reaches thousands of people each week with Lisa's passion for functional organizing, combined with her encouragement and humor, and helped thousands of women reclaim their homes and finally get organized once and for all. And there you go. That's like the magic ticket there, Lisa.
Yeah, thank you so much. Wow, that sounds so good. Thank you for that introduction.
You're welcome. So now tell me, how did you get started doing what you were doing and becoming the paper guru?
Yeah. So what you just read is like the picture perfect version that you put on Instagram. How it got started was in a cold, dark, rainy night in my car crying on my way home from work. That's how it got started, right? So it was December 2011. I was 39 years old, and I had just been scolded by my principal about how I was not a good teacher. And at that time, like, I was teaching Montessori education. I had 21 kids in my classroom, and I had 21 different algebra math lessons. I was teaching 100% independently and pacing with all of those kids. And it was the only thing I was still successful at in my life. I was failing at my marriage. I was failing at parenting. My kids were failing at school. They were sick. I didn't even recognize anything in my house. And literally in the dark, in the rain, crying on the way home in December, I was like, well, this is ridiculous. Like, if I'm failing at my job that I'm literally getting up at 5 a.m. for and going to bed at midnight and everything else is falling apart, well, somebody else can be the teacher, but no one can be the mom to my kids. And I will regret it for the rest of my life if I continue on this path, because I'm literally now officially failing at everything that I'm doing. So I quit my job in December. Definitely not what you're supposed to do. And I started to Organize 365 January 1st, 2012, the most disorganized I have ever been. No direction, no idea what I was going to do. I had done a blog before. I knew you could make money from that. I was an entrepreneur. I knew it wanted to be organizing related. I had no idea what I was going to do or what I was going to sell, but I was done working for someone else. And I wanted to proactively take back my life and take control of myself first. And then whatever came out of that, I would work with.
So now let me ask you, that low point for you, that point in December, 2011, did you feel like you had organizing skills and had just fallen apart, or did you have to learn them at that point in time?
So I had organizing skills and it had fallen apart. And I had the misconception that you were either born organized or not born organized. That's what I had heard. And I knew I was born organized so I could reclaim them. But in the first 3 years of my business as a professional organizer in people's homes, what I realized was I was a teacher and people were learning the skill of organization. And that actually you have to learn organization 4 times in your lifetime. You learn it as a child. You learn it in your 20s and 30s. You learn it again in your 40s and 50s, and then again in your later 50s and 60s, because your life keeps changing and the kind of decluttering and organizing you need changes. So you can be organized in one part of life and not in the next. And it's usually when you're making a transition that everything gets all shooken up and you have to redo what your organizing is for the next phase of life.
You know what? I love that. And, that sounds so familiar to me, because I've talked to so many people, and they will say, it's like, I was fine up until this happened. And it's usually some kind of life shift. They get a child, they have a child, or you know, they have a new job or they retire or something like that. So that's like so brilliant that you realize that when you were teaching people.
Yeah.
So now the title of this online show is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. So tell me, like, what does Ace Your Space mean to you?
So I was raised with a perfectionistic mother. I was never good enough. And I had dyslexia and nobody knew it. So I never could get all A's and B's. I always had this floating C on my report card. So I tried as a child to be perfect and I never could attain that. Thank goodness, actually. So as an adult, I think often we try to strive for perfection. So ace your space, you could think A plus, you know, be a perfectionist. And what I think ace your space means is that you strive for excellence in everything that you do, but not perfection. Perfection isn't a thing. We're never going to achieve that, but we can always strive to be better and we can strive to be excellent.
I like that. I'm writing excellence. That's perfect.
Yeah.
So now I just, you know, I read in the introduction about your new book and I'm so excited about this book coming out on August the 4th. Let me hold it up again. I want you guys to see it. And so it really does detail so much about your brilliant Sunday basket system, and other great techniques for managing what you call the paper tsunami. Now, I love the idea of the Sunday basket system because like I'm all about a brain dump. And to me, it's like, this is the physical manifestation of just like, it's like the brain dump, like physical, you know, like putting it in a place. So can you tell us more about this amazing Sunday basket system?
Yes. And as I describe it, you might think to yourself, oh, I kind of do that. You just don't do all the pieces. So it is my system, but it's not like I invented the wheel or anything. So it's exactly what you said, a brain dump. There's mine behind me. It's just a box. And it literally, you could take books, you can take prescriptions you've run out of, you could take whatever you need to do. It's an external to-do list. And I love that you said brain dump because what happens when you use the Sunday basket after 6 weeks and you put your mail in there and your to-dos and your actionable and you start creating this weekly habit is your brain is able to think again. And right now, most of our brains are being used as really expensive to-do lists. And we're walking around going, I've got to give the dog the flea medicine. I've got to give the dog the flea medicine. I need a haircut. Why didn't I get a haircut? We are out of milk. And like your brain is like an amazing computer and you're constantly using it as if it's like a to-do list reminder app. And when you train yourself to write down all of these actionable ideas that you have that don't need to happen immediately, which is 99.9% of everything we think, mm-hmm. and put it in that basket, even if you write the same thing down 5 times, what happens after 6 weeks is your brain is empty. And it's actually able to start thinking about real solutions and real problems and enjoy books without getting to page number 2 and thinking about 3 things that you forgot to do today.
Well, and you know, I would think that what happens, you know, you mentioned doing it for 6 weeks to kind of, I guess that sort of is forming the habit. Your brain can kind of breathe and relax because it realizes it's not going to have to be that to-do list.
That's why I say 6 weeks, because you'll do the habit sooner, but your brain does not trust you. It does not think that you're going to actually go to that box on Sunday. So it's going to keep saying, no, we need milk. And you're like, it's fine. I don't need it before Sunday. Are you sure? Because we need milk. And your brain is used to having to remind you to do these things in order to get things done so that you don't wake up on Monday morning with no milk for cereal and crying kids and all of these things, because that's happened before. But as your brain realizes, oh, she will get to that, then I can start thinking about other things.
So that brings to mind a question. It's like when I tell people about clutter, I say, you know, clutter takes up so much physical and mental bandwidth, and it really does. And it's like, this is like you're getting the clutter down so that you get your mental bandwidth back. What sort of things have you seen open up for people, women? I'm sure men use this too, but I would imagine that it's kind of more women do this. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe that might be crazy. People, we'll say people. What would you say opens up for people once they get going with this Sunday basket and they're not spinning their mental wheels on that to-do list stuff? What are some things that open up for folks?
Yeah, it is way more women. One, because I have spoken to women because I am a woman, but also because we're the ones that have the mental chatter about the fact that we need milk. Mm-hmm. Men don't have that going on in their brain. They just think differently than we do. Yes. So what ends up opening up is after doing this for 6 weeks, and we've even run a study and proven that this is true, you literally get 5 extra hours in the week. So like an extra hour every single day, Monday through Friday, because now your child brings you a toy that's broken that needs new batteries. Instead of stopping everything that you're doing and changing the batteries and giving the toy back to the child, you're just taking it, putting in the Sunday basket, and you keep doing whatever you were doing when the child approached you. Mm-hmm. Same with your mind. When you're like getting ready to respond to an email and you're like, oh shoot, I need to cancel the airplane reservations. I grab an index card, I write that on it, set it to the side, and I keep doing whatever I was doing at work. You don't get interrupted and you don't have that task switching time, and you literally end up with 5 extra hours every single week just by deferring all of these actionables to be done all at one time. Now, the Sunday basket takes 90 minutes to 2 hours to do. It's not like it takes no time, but it saves so much more time than it takes to actually do. You just need to learn how to work proactively instead of reactively.
Right. Well, and I think absolutely doing the proactive work would completely save time. You know, it's mm-hmm. like you're thinking about things before it needs doing. And 5 hours is big. That's like, yes. That's like, you know, like a day and a half work day. You could just do read a book, do something fun.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, you could read almost a whole book.
There we go. All right. Which book on this bookshelf are we going to grab and read? All right. So now also I was looking through this book, and I've been looking at, you know, what you teach. You mention storing things or filing things away in binders rather than like a file cabinet and files and stuff like that. That's really interesting to me. Can you tell me more about that and how you decided that that would be a better idea than what we've been doing or what we typically think of doing?
So the reason why there are not a lot of books, like there literally are no books on paper organization, like mm-hmm. physical paper organization, there's plenty on digitizing stuff.
Right.
I talk about how to physically organize paper. And I determined that the reason why it was so hard to teach this and so many professional organizers use my resources is because look at Pinterest. Like there are so many different ways to organize a kitchen, a bathroom, a linen closet, a kids room, whatever. If it's a physical thing, we can figure out how to organize it. But when we're talking about paper and you're going to hold up this paper, you want to know what to do with that paper. And how do you do that in some kind of other system? So when I was looking at paper, one of the things that I would organize as a professional organizer in multiple people's houses were their filing cabinets. And I tried everything. I tried using files inside of hanging files. I tried color coding. I tried making multiple different cabinets. I tried everything and nothing was manageable. The owner could not maintain it and they hardly ever referenced any of it. And then what happened in 2016 is we had all those horrible hurricanes and fires. Now, an earthquake or a tornado, you can't predict that, but a fire and a hurricane, you need to evacuate. And when you evacuate, people would be reaching out to me and they'd be like, Lisa, how do we take our papers with us? And they had them all in filing cabinets. And I said, I'm sorry, you don't get out of your house and go. And I was like, never again will I have people, you know, trying to get their filing cabinets into their roof with a hatchet to get out of the top because a hurricane is coming and they don't have their paper portable. And that's when I decided that it's not just that we can't figure out what to do with the filing cabinets. It's antiquated and it does not work in any emergency situation. It doesn't work when you're evaluating. It doesn't work when you're being power of healthcare for your parents in the hospital. It doesn't work when you're trying to settle an estate with an estate lawyer. You need to take the binder with you to the professional. You need to be able to have your information portable. And so I just created 4 simple binders. You can even reduce it down to 3 if you want less. 1 for your house, 1 for your medical, 1 for your financial. I'm telling you, that's going to eliminate 95% of what you're saving inside of your filing cabinet.
That's so amazing. I love that. So we don't need filing cabinets anymore. We have the binders. I love that.
But we also don't need everything digitized. So I'm like, you know, most people would say, yeah, get rid of your filing cabinet and digitize it all. I don't say that. And the reason I don't say that is because my kids have IEPs and I go to school and I advocate for their educational plan with teachers. And when I can physically pull out a report and hand it to people, or I can be with a lawyer and pull out my dad's records as I'm handling his estate, that paper is powerful. It makes people sit up and take attention. If you're like, I'll email it to you, I've got to go find it, you lose the power in the moment, and it's harder to advocate for other people. Like, even if you send them the electronic file, anyone could come in my house, grab our financial binder, and be our, well, not anybody, but our power of attorney could do that for us without having to know our password or logging onto our computer or downloading it, or me giving all my financial information to my power of attorney in advance. Binders simplify things. Some things just need to be in paper form.
Right. So you mentioned digitizing then. What are you? Do you digitize some things?
Very
little.
Or
do you like digitize?
By the time you digitize it, it's like outdated. So for my business, yes, we digitize all of our contracts and financial, and I have them in Dropbox for our bookkeeper and our CFO. I have finally gotten to the point where I digitized our tax returns, because you need to send those sometimes when you have bank things. But I have very little digitized, because again, if I need it, I mean, my binders are right behind me. It's just as easy to grab it. And if I need to send it to somebody, I scan that one paper and then I keep the physical binder updated, because digital needs to be updated as well. And sure. I'm just not a digital person. I'm a more analog type person.
Yep. And I mean, digital clutter may not take up physical space, but it certainly does take up space and mental space and stuff like that. And it's just, you're right. It can be really hard. It can be just as hard finding that digital thing on your computer as it is trying to find it in a stuffed filing cabinet. Mm-hmm. The same thing. So when people get started tackling their, I love your term, paper tsunami. So I'm going to use that. I like it. Tsunami. When they start tackling their paper tsunami, what are some of the pitfalls that they encounter?
Yeah, the number one thing is they get overwhelmed and they try to do the touch it once philosophy. Did you hear that growing up? Like,
oh, yeah.
Any paper, touch it once. No. Okay. Erase that from your mind, because if you want to touch a paper once, you will be paralyzed by paper number three because you don't know the next step. Look at it as a class. We're going to learn as you go through the book. I'm going to take from paper tsunami all the way to organized binders. Like, you get all the way through there, but you have to go chapter by chapter by chapter. So not chapter one, but when we get to the big purge, it's about getting all your paper and just figuring out how much you can get rid of. And you'll usually get rid of about 75% at this point, shredding or recycling about 75%. Do not figure out if it's a Sunday basket paper, an actionable paper, if it's going to go, what binder it's going to go into. That is going to slow you down. Just decide if you need it or not. And then after you decide if you need it or not, we'll go through all that paper again, and we're going to sort it into different piles. You're going to shred and delete a little bit more. And then we'll take each pile and we'll make that binder, and you'll shred and delete a little bit more. And you may say, oh, but that's not as efficient. It actually is way more efficient if you're only trying to decide one thing. If you look at a paper and all you're trying to decide, do I need it or don't I need it? It's so much easier for your brain, and it is so much faster.
So people are really, so you see people, it's like they're trying to put the cart before the horse, basically. So they're doing like these steps over here when they need to start in this place.
Yeah. And the worst is when you think, oh, the solution is digitizing, and you take your entire filing cabinet and you just buy a shredder. You should buy a shredder, but you buy a scanner and you just start scanning. And now all of a sudden you have like so many, 85% of it you don't need. Like, declutter first, get rid of everything we can first, and then figure out what the best solution is for you.
Well, that's, I've like a similar thing. I've talked to people who were trying to do their photos, and they did that. They sent them all off to be digitized before they sorted. And they're like, what the heck do we do with this?
Yes.
So it's like, yes. And I mean, that's kind of the principle, even with any kind of organizing. It's like, you declutter, you get rid of things first, and then you figure out how you're going to organize it. If it's physical stuff and you want to have cute baskets in your bathroom closet, get rid of everything first and then worry about that. Don't put the cart before the horse.
And if I can just interject, like people always think decluttering leads to organizing, and it's actually three parts in the cycle. So it's decluttering leads to organizing, leads to increased productivity, and then back to decluttering again. And increased productivity is what everyone always wants. So yeah. When you're thinking about decluttering and organizing, people are thinking, I'm going to declutter my files, I'm going to make binders. But the middle part is actually organizing. Making binders is productivity. The organizing part is actually taking all the papers that are left and putting them into different categories, and then you make binders from that. If you try to take the entire pile and start making binders, you'll be very frustrated. You have to take the step. Organization usually is not pretty. It's right. Usually categorizing it. It's when you're organizing your closet and you're sorting everything, you just have piles of shirts and shorts right. And whatever. Increasing productivity is when you hang it on cute hangers and put it back in the closet, color-coded or by sleeve length. Mm-hmm. The organizing step is ugly and it's just functional. So give yourself the ability to have that step before you try to get it in an end presentation that you want to give to people.
Oh, that is such a good point. I love that. I'm definitely going to remember that one. So now, what tips can you give people to free their time and reclaim their energy?
Well, number one is the Sunday basket. It yeah. Literally is the one thing, because there are, you don't realize how often your brain is interrupting you all day long. I mean, if you have children, spouses, you know how often they're interrupting you, but your brain is actually reminding you to do all kinds of other things. And now that I have a Sunday basket and I also have work boxes, I literally, like, I have had no errant thoughts while I've had this conversation with you. And I find that I'm like that all the time. Like, my ability to focus is off the charts because I'm never worried about what else needs to be done because it's somewhere where it can be done. So figuring out how to get your kitchen counter clear and getting your to-do list done, that is step one.
I love that. And that's true. And I mean, and also, I mean, we're talking about that you just mentioned, you mentioned earlier in the interview that working with the Sunday basket gives you back 5 hours yes. a week, but also it's the energy. I mean, it's like when you know, it's like we're trying to remember all those things in your brain. It wears down your energy too. It makes you tired. It's like if you're not spending the time on that, I would imagine, you know, you got some energy back too.
You get some energy back, but more than that, I find that women get their confidence back. Because it's not like you didn't know what was going on before the Sunday basket or what was in those piles before the Sunday basket, but you were missing things. Like kids were missing birthday parties, bills were being paid late, your spouse will ask you for something and you don't have the answer on the tip of your tongue because you can't find it or it was missing in one of your piles. And when women are doing this Sunday basket week after week, somewhere along the line, this scenario will play out. They will get a call from a child, from a spouse, from someone, and they will say, where is blah, blah, blah? And they will not be at home. And they will say, go in my Sunday basket to the slash pocket, labeled this, it's right in there. And then they're like, yes, I am a boss. I didn't have to turn the car around. I didn't have to go back. I didn't have to like sweat and figure out where is it and why didn't I have that done? One woman said, after she replayed that scenario, she said, wait till he finds out that I've already done the renewal for the boat lease or whatever. Like, it's going to blow his mind because apparently she missed that like every single year for 5 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And you just feel like, yes, I'm back in control of my life. I'm starting to be productive and proactive. And I knew I had it together, but I felt so scattered all the time. And now I feel like I'm making forward progress and I'm allowed now to take time to read a book or do something else. Because when I read that book and I get interrupted for where is XYZ, I have an answer. I don't feel like, oh shoot, there, I took an hour for myself again. And look, the whole house is going to fall apart. So I can't have any self-care time.
I love that. I'm like, I'm so excited about this whole sun. I can't wait to start it myself. I'm so excited about it. That's such a great technique. All right. So I've got a couple more questions for you.
Okay.
What is a movie that you can practically quote from start to finish?
There are a lot of them, like Christmas Vacation. But the one I was going to tell you is, I love the book Katy Perry, Part of Me. Like, I just love her whole story. I love any entrepreneur or creative and hearing their story from how they just kept trying and trying and the record label after record label after record label. And then you see their success. But I just love the story of how they got to where they are.
Got it. I love that. I haven't seen that. I've got to.
I love it.
You know, and speaking about stories like that as well, I've really heard that Taylor Swift's
That was another good one.
It was really fascinating. I haven't watched
it. I just couldn't quote it. You said quoting it. Like, yeah, I've seen Katy Perry's like 20 times.
Katy Perry, right. Got it. All right. And one more question for you. What was your favorite book as a child?
You know, I liked mysteries. I mean, you made me really think about that one. I like Nancy Drew or Buster Brown or all those kinds of books. And I think it's because I'm a jigsaw puzzle doer. Like, I'm a problem solver. Yep. I love to try to figure out clues and how to solve problems.
Love that. You know, I really loved Nancy Drew when I was growing up too. I just loved her mystery books. They were really fun. Yeah. They were fun. All right. I think you have a gift for the audience.
I do. So if you're interested in the Sunday Basket system, you can sign up for a free 7-day mini course, and I'll just send you an email every day that'll kind of walk you through making your own Sunday basket before you invest in the Organized 365 one. For some people, that's all they need. Like, they don't need to invest in the Sunday basket. If you do, it comes with a physical basket, online training, and then a weekly 90-minute session with professional organizers every single week in the Sunday Basket Club. So it's an awesome thing to invest in. But you may, you know, this interview and just doing the free 7-day mini course may be enough for you.
That's going to be so useful. And we're going to have a link somewhere below to the side around this interview where you can get to it. And we're also going to have links on how they can find you and Organize 365 and things like that. Now, I have one more question for you. If you could leave people with one action that they could take like today to help them declutter their life, what would that one action be?
So I'm going to stick with the theme of paper just because we've had that. Yes. And I would say to declutter your mind, just like you said, a brain dump. And I find not everybody knows what a brain dump is. Mm-hmm. So a brain dump is when you sit down, like your teacher in school would say, I want you to just write for 3 minutes and you have to keep writing. When I used to do brain dumps, I would do it on the legal pad of all the things I had to do. Once I got to 11 pages of things that I had to do, it was crazy. Yeah. I don't do it that way anymore. Now I do it on index cards. And the reason why I do it on index cards and only one idea on every index card, and yeah, you're going to have a lot, but they're totally cheap, so do it anyway, is because for every index card you find, it's so easy to recycle it once you actually do it, or to sort them like, okay, these are all school related, these are all shopping related, these are all work related. Once you have all your ideas out on index cards, and then you can start to tackle those piles of like related items. So if you have 20 things that you need to buy, go ahead and open the Walmart app, put all the things in there, open up Amazon, open them all up, and then you can get rid of all 20 of those cards all at once.
Oh, you know, now that's another genius idea. Oh my goodness, Lisa, you have given us so many amazing ideas during this interview. I'm like ready to go get some index cards.
Oh, thank you, Leanne.
So, thank you so much for being here with us today. I so appreciate it.
Thank you.
I know that the audience is going to get as much out of this as I have. And audience, for you guys, I want you to make sure that you check your email tomorrow. There are going to be some other really great Ace Your Space interview series. And in the meantime, go and get some index cards and start on that brain dump. And I will see you tomorrow. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you.